How many's ever been to Ripley's Believe It or Not in Branson? How many of you believed it? Or not? I went through there once, and there were some things that I thought, you know, Brother Rodney, I could believe that. And some things, I don't know if I could believe that. And then there were some things that I know I couldn't believe that. Right? And those things, you know why I couldn't believe that? Because I chose not to believe that. I chose not to believe that. In our world that we're living in today and surrounded by, that's kind of what I want to talk to us about for just a little bit this evening. Chloe, choose to believe it or not. The title of my message is Believe It or Not. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 1. I don't know, I haven't a clue how long this message is going to be tonight. I just want God to take over and want God to speak to our heart. Listen, I don't know if it's age. I don't know if it's me sensing the signs of who we are today or a mixture of both. But I'll tell you what, church, if there ever was a time when we got to quit messing around, we better quit messing around. We better get serious with God. I understand. I mentioned earlier, I come to worship the Lord, not play football. And I know we're in a season and time to where that's a lot of people, that's all they talk about. But I'm here to tell you, it's going to be gone. It's going to be all washed up, going to be over. Just in a few weeks, it's all going to be over and all going to be history. What I'm bringing you tonight is eternal. And it's going to last forever. I don't have a problem with you liking football, but when you come to church, leave it at home. Okay? We come to God's house to learn, to dig deeper, to get closer, and get a relationship with Him. I don't mean to sound like I'm scolding you, because I get caught up in sports too, okay? So I understand that. But I believe with the signs of time that are all around about us right now, we better quit messing around. We better get serious with God. We better get serious with God. So in Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 1, thank you for standing for the reading of God's word. I want to ask you, as Isaiah asks the question, who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our report? Do we live a life every day that we live on our job, down at the grocery store, wherever it may be, do we live a life that people can see Jesus Christ in us and what they did not believe then, that they, through us, see a hope and they believe? Come on, somebody. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It's our responsibility to reach out to a lost and a dying world. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. So in this passage of Scripture, as I titled my message, Believe It or Not, Bible, Isaiah asks the question, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? I don't know about you. Most men, if they get something that they have to put together or figure out, or it comes with an instruction booklet, we usually use it to start a fire instead of reading it. But I have noticed occasionally when I do read the instruction manual that there are certain points throughout that instruction book that repeats itself. Oh, come on, I'm going somewhere. Come on, somebody. I'm going somewhere. Throughout that instruction booklet, that it repeats itself on certain things that are vital and that is important. Okay. So with that being said, if it's repeated in the Scriptures on several occasions, then we need to pay close attention. So in Isaiah chapter 53, who hath believed our report? Isaiah, he gives a message out. In the book of John, over in the New Testament, in John chapter 12, verse 37 and 38, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. You know why? They had a choice. They chose not to. All the miracles. John said, all the miracles they'd done, there was a group of people that refused to believe on Jesus Christ. Verse 38. Then they said of Isaiah, or Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? John repeated the words of Isaiah. Who hath believed our report? Perhaps his inspiration for that was that when he seen Christ doing all these miracles, and yet there was a number of them that refused to believe. Then we go over to the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 16. But they had not obeyed, all had obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah, said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Three times. Isaiah spoke it twice. And in the New Testament, it was spoken by John and perhaps by Paul, the writer or the author of Romans. Can I just get real with you tonight? The rest of you that don't want me to get real, I guess you just refuse to believe it or not. Can I get real with you? In our culture in which we live, there is a consensual aspect of truth. And that consensual aspect of truth, in a broad measure, states what is true for you may not be true for me. And whatever is true for you, or truth, whatever is true, yeah. That's why I wrote this down. Whatever is true for me may not be true for you, or vice versa. You know, that's sad in the world in which we live in. You know why? Because we no longer live by the guidelines of black and white, which God ordained, but in a fog of dirty gray that permeates the minds of those who refuse to see and hear the truth. Hey, I'm preaching to you tonight. I love you. I want to help you get somewhere. Someone once said, there's no one any more blind than those who refuse to see. And I may mention it a little bit more throughout my message, but we live in a society in the world right now, it doesn't matter how the facts are, the news seem to slant whatever they want to fit their agenda. How many seen that? So you know what I'm talking about. We live in a society to where even the news, it doesn't matter. Facts don't matter. They don't matter at all. It's however we want to set our narrative to try to get people. And we tell that lie over and over and over and over again. And the more they tell the lie, the more it convinces a few more people. A guy by the name of Mr. Huxley put it like this. And this will take some little bit of explaining. And I will as I go. Most ignorance is visible ignorance. What he is saying is that most of the time when we choose not to see the truth, it is very plain and it can be convinced, but they don't want to. Most ignorance is visible ignorance. Simply put, we don't know, we don't care. Because we choose not to know. It's our will that decides how and upon what subjects we shall find useful for our own intelligence. It's truth only if the circumstance fits our personal narrative. I didn't copy this out of no book, no word. God spoke to my heart concerning all of this. And with what's going on in our society today, church, we've got to wake up. We've got to wake up. Because the sad part about it is the church is following the world more than the world's following the church. So we've got to understand and realize we've got to seek God. For the Bible tells us that we are to not to follow our own knowledge, but we're to trust God with everything that is within us, correct? So we've got to get past the circumstance of life to where it just fits our personal narrative in which we want to believe. Jeremiah put it like this: "Hear now this, O foolish people," speaking to Israel, "without understanding of heart." Let me look that up. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 21. "Without understanding of heart, who has eyes and sees not, and who has ears but hear not." Mark chapter 8, verse 17 said, "And being aware of it, Jesus said unto them, Why are you reasoning and saying it because you have no bread? Do you not yet discern or understand? Are your hearts in a settled state of hardness?" Can you see people's hardness in our world today? You go, you know, used to, if you went somewhere to buy something, they treated you like, "Yes, you're signing my paycheck. Yes, I care that you're here." Now you can tell they don't care. Am I getting real? Okay. I was in the store yesterday afternoon, and I walked up to leave the store, and they had those little, you know, they got to check you, make sure you didn't take something you didn't pay for. And I could tell this young lady, man, she'd been sucking on sour pickles all day long. She had it rough. And I just looked at her, being the person I am, and I said, "Hun, are you having a rough day?" And she just kind of grunted at me. Checked my groceries and said, "You're free to go." She started to walk off. In fact, she did walk off. And I just said, ma'am, I hope you have a better day." People are hurting. People are hurting. They need somebody to tell them that Jesus Christ is the answer. And there is hope. But we live in that kind of society. My point is, we can't allow that mentality to get on us. We are King's kids. We're a child of God, bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We cannot allow that mentality to zap us and get on top of us and hinder us and move us away of the things of God. I'm trusting and I'm believing that God is God. Amen. Lord, I trust you right now. As we have stated on several occasions, Chris has stated it in class, I have, and I've heard others say it, every circumstance and everything we do is a heart issue. It's a heart issue. And we see this in the circumstances in which we live. The problem goes away beyond whether we are, the problem goes way beyond whether we are literally blind or literally deaf. For you see, the spiritual diagnosis through the Word of God is that we are blinded at the heart. Again, the news media in our society is overwhelmed with facts, but it's only in their hearts whether they choose to validate those facts. Are you hearing me, church? Just real simple stuff, but we're seeing a lot of junk. Or choose to set a narrative of which they choose to believe that benefits their thought process that is cultured in their hearts. It's cultured in their hearts. And we live with that mentality. It's only if I choose to believe it, don't matter what the facts are. And here we are, church. Instead of the church influencing our culture, the church has allowed our society to influence our way of thinking. We have become numb to the Word of God. and we follow our selfish desires. We have gotten to a place where we see God's word only as a suggestion book. Instead of the full authoritative volume of God's instructions that shows us how to engage in life through blessings and hope. Literally, we have gotten to a place in our society that we look at the Word of God as only a suggestion book. But I'm here to tell you it's way far beyond suggestions. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. This is King James, by the way. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. This is what King James says. Because of the blindness of their heart. Because of the blindness of their heart. Who being past feelings have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. Chris mentioned this morning about feelings. It seems like that's all people think about is my feelings. Well, that's the way I feel. Well, that's the way I feel. Well, that's the way I feel. Feelings really don't have anything to do with the Word of God. It's what thus saith the Word of God. Then He'll put the feelings in you. Through ignorance that is in them. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be considered ignorant, especially by God. Hello, somebody. In these three verses of scriptures, we see Paul expounding to the church at Ephesus on the issues surrounding their walk with God by allowing their own intellect to dictate their daily lives. The Bible tells us, lean not to our own understanding. In all of our ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. We cannot allow our own intellect to dictate our daily lives. As he was talking, they completely ignored, through ignorance, the culture that had caused them to blind their hearts of the truth of God's Word. If we will stop for a moment and examine what Paul is saying in these verses, they are bursting at the seams with the insight of where our cultural chaos is happening today. As we experience it, as we speak, as we go to the store, wherever we go, we're experiencing, as Paul talked to the church at Ephesus, a cultural chaos. How many can agree with that? A cultural chaos. Paul gives us a perfect description of those far from God. By their own deceit, their understanding has been darkened. Ignorance has overshadowed them, and their hearts are hardened. And calloused emotions has led to our polluted society that no longer acknowledges God. Are you hearing me? We're living in a polluted society that no longer acknowledges God. We need to take a good look at the 18th verse of this chapter, which tells us that our understanding has been darkened and we have been alienated, our life from the life of God, through our own desires of being ignorant to the fact of what God says because of the blindness of our heart. We choose not to see. We choose not to see. Let me remind you once again of Mr. Huxley that I mentioned to you a while ago, that most ignorance is vincible ignorance, which means we're capable of being overcome or subdued by the truth. We don't know because we don't want to know. It is our will that decides how and upon what subject we choose to use as our intellect. A Greek word translated here into blindness literally means to wrap oneself with a hard, callous-like covering so it's impossible for us to see. That's the blindness he's talking about. Amen. We usually associate blindness with the eyes, but the scripture speaks often of the heart that is not able to see. The Bible uses it figuratively as an object that represents a person's will and their inclination to accept or to reject the truth. How many knows the Bible says the truth will set you free? Can I give you a couple of examples of who we are in our world today? When the Bible says no liar shall inherit the kingdom of heaven, we have a tendency to put liars in categories of black ones or little white ones. We try to justify or qualify the degree of truth within our statement so that we won't be too deceptive or manipulative to where we can at least sleep at night. But can I tell you, a lie is a lie? It don't matter how you wrap it or what color you color it. A lie is a lie. We have deviated in our society, in our world today, with that mentality. I have ever seen such a mentality of deception in our world today, and we just try to pass it off as it's not a lie, but deception is a lie. Number two, the Bible speaks of adultery and fornication. He did not give us a platform to litigate the severity of either one or to water it down the subject so that it would fit the narrative of our lifestyle. When the Bible speaks of adultery and fornication, he did not give us a platform to litigate the severity or water down the subject so that would fit the narrative of our lifestyle or the desire to indulge in sin so we could justify our intentions or our motives. We do not see it in clarity simply because we've allowed our hearts to be blinded with the circumstances of our desires. Can I take that a little bit further? We are very familiar with adulterous affairs, with fornication. We're very familiar with the circumstances. We know if somebody is messing around with somebody else's wife or husband, we know that's adultery. We know that's, you know, it is what it is, right? Here's the thing we've got to in church. The Bible speaks to the children of Israel in many occasions of committing the spiritual adultery and spiritual fornication. And we claim to be a Christian, and yet we're fornicating with the world. We say we love God, but there's so many other things that are so more important than church. Y'all ready for Brother Chris to preach again? We are so consumed by what dictates our belief system. But God's word speaks as much about spiritual adultery and fornication as it does natural fornication and adultery. You cannot serve two masters, the Bible says. Hello? So therefore, we have to look into the Word of God and realize that if we place anything above God, we are committing fornication and adultery with the world. And we're putting God on the back steps. And we wonder why we can't get the blessings. God is not mocked.
Yes.
For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So I urge you tonight, church, that we shake ourselves and we ask God to take the blinders off of our heart, that we might see clearly that he is the most important thing in our entire life, and we depend upon him. And from this moment on, we will no longer commit adultery with the world. We will put him first and foremost in our lives.
Amen.
When the Bible speaks of living and walking in integrity, there is no variance or degree in which the lifestyle of honesty spans. So we are to let our word be yeses and noes. The Bible says, be yea or nay. We are to love without showing prejudice or hostility. We are to conduct our financial dealings to the letter, including reporting all of our income to the IRS and giving everything to God that's His. Whether we like it or whether we don't, it's the way God is. If you want to be blessed, you've got to do it God's way. When we sign a contract or even a verbal agreement to pay our bills, there's no escape clause. Hello? There is no escape clause. To see how we can get out of it, but we are to live a life above reproach, so that Christ may exalt to the world that does not know him. He is using you as a light to lighten the way and salt to season people's life. Amen. If you go to a restaurant and they didn't treat you right and you got a bad attitude, don't tell them where you go to church. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verses 13 and 14. Can I tell you, God has a whole plan? I said God has a whole plan. And it sums it up like this. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. You know why? Because he loves you. There ain't going to be no abundance of variations of God's word in heaven. Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 17 said, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I love the Word of God, but one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Anybody have a favorite passage of Scripture? Well, this is one of mine, found in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before your God. It's a whole duty of man. He has showed us plainly and clearly. We have perverted it by cancellating culture. How many has heard the term of cancel culture lately?
Amen.
You really know? You know what that cancel culture really means? Yeah. Anybody know what it really means? Help me out here. How many has no clue what it really means? You just heard it. Okay. Cancel culture. Chris mentioned it this morning in his message. Cancel culture is simply, Brother Ronnie, if I don't agree with you, your history, you don't even exist. You're out of here. I don't like the way you raise cows. You don't know how to do it anyway. So you're wrong. It's the way it is. How many's heard of... I'm just kidding. I love you, brother. I love you like a dad. You all have heard of Mike Lindell, My Pillow? The cancel culture is after him because of his faith and his stance. Well, you don't even exist. We don't support your business. We're going to cancel you out. We're going to ruin you. We're going to destroy you. Can I tell you that's what the world's trying to do to God's word? They're trying to cancel you out. Hello? Listen, they're trying to cancel you out. You don't matter. You're a little bit crazy because you believe in the Bible. You send your kids to private schools. You're just a little bit really far out there. So we're just going to cancel you out. And I'm here to tell you, while the rest of the world is doing the canceling, Jesus is taking notes. He's got you in the palm of his hand. He's got the plans He has for you written in the palm of His hand. He loves you and He cares for you. And I'm here to tell you, when this world is on fire and everything's going crazy, to the child of God that's put their trust in Him and acknowledge Him in all their ways, is going to be shouting on the hills of glory. That's the promise that we have. And you know what's so amazing? With all the perversion in our world today and all the cancellation because they don't like what God's Word has to say, God is so merciful and so kind, He's not canceled anybody out yet. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's how good God is. Despite how cruel the world is, this is how good God is. I don't know about you, but I want to encourage you. You better stay on God's side. Hello. I said you better stay on God's side. When we allow ourselves to become a part of that culture, a cancel culture in which we live, we feel comfortable. And see, when we deny any part of the Word of God, or we try to dilute it, or we try to justify it in a different way, that's basically what we're still doing, is we're canceling out God's Word. Only in our minds, because it is, His Word is forever standing. But when we get to the place that we feel comfortable canceling, ignoring, or withdrawing support from anyone or anything, or don't like someone or something, and we don't agree with them, we become callous to the truth. The more we disregard what God really says, the easier it is to disregard something else, till we get to a place that we're so callous that we don't even hear what God's saying. We no longer even care about the evidence, the facts, or the truth. Because we choose not to know. Because we don't want to know. We allow our hearts to become blinded by the desires of the flesh instead of seeking God and allowing the light to permeate every crevice of our heart. While we acknowledge God in all of our ways, not only will He direct our path 100%, but to whom the Son set free, He is free indeed. And while we are walking in the Spirit, when we're walking in the Spirit, the darkness nor its shadows can reach our soul. Hey, somebody needs to write that down. When we're walking in the Spirit, the darkness nor its shadows can reach our soul. Will you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your precious Word. I thank You, Lord, that it is truth. Your Word proclaims, so let God's Word be true and every man a liar. Lord, we look to You, Lord, for we know that the shackles must come off of our heart. Lord, the blinders must come off of our heart that we might be able to see You clearly. I pray, Almighty God, that You will speak peace, Lord, to each and every individual that's here, and let our spiritual eyes become open, let our hearts become receptive, Lord, that we might be all that You'd have us to be. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Chris, would you care to come to the piano, please? How many tonight would you see the need of having a surgical eye examination and liberation for those things to be peeled away from your heart? I wonder if we could just in general all come to the altar and spend some time in prayer before we're dismissed this evening and allow God speak to His heart. You know, and if you think the pastor's way off, pray and ask God to help me see, because I want to know what He has to say. Amen. Amen.